Blog Talk Radio.
And a pleasant good evening to you. Once again, you're in tune to the Bible Coach, and I'm your host, Tim D. Washington. I want to thank you again for joining tonight as we continue sharing the Word of God right here live on Blog Talk Radio. We just want to say that we appreciate you and thank you for your listenership. And also for any of you who are new to the broadcast, we just want to say we appreciate your taking time out of your schedule to take time to study the Word of God with us. I invite you to grab your Bibles tonight and something to write with. We have quite a few different texts of Scripture that we're going to be dealing with. We have a very important subject matter that we want to discuss and share with you. And so I'm asking that you would take time out to grab your Bible, and again, something to write with, something to take notes, and make sure that you underline the references in your Bible so that you can go back and reflect upon the things that we've shared tonight. God is so good, and His mercies endure forever. This past weekend, we were able to go down to Nacogdoches, Texas, and there is the place where my daughter was married. And we just want to say shout out to Brianna, who is now Brianna Washington, that's changed her name to Brianna Carter. Thank you, Mr. Josh Carter, and also Brianna Carter, for your diligently going after each other and taking time out to set things in order by getting married. We appreciate you on that, and we hope a lot of blessings shall come your way as a result of your union together. Also want to say to all of you who are students of the Word of God, don't stop studying. Don't ever feel like that you have gotten to the place where you don't need any more of the Word, or that you have arrived, because it's necessary for us to daily seek the Lord, to daily study the Word of God, because more and more we'll gather in what God will have us to know. God will lead us, He will guide us, He will instruct us. And the way that God normally instructs us is through His Word. And whether you see a vision or a dream, it all ties back to the Word of God. God is going to lead you by His Word. And there is absolutely no other way that He has given to us but by way of His Word. So our subject tonight that we're talking about is, who's to blame when you suffer loss? Who is to blame when you suffer loss? Who is to blame when you suffer loss? In this life, loss will come. It will come in various different ways and in different time frames of our life, different situations, different circumstances. Loss is going to come, and if you live long enough, you're going to experience some type of loss. And tonight we're going to deal with who's to blame for such suffering and loss. And before we go into our subject, as always, we are going to go to God in prayer, and we're going to seek the face of God as we ask and invite Him to come to teach us tonight through the indwelling power of the Holy Spirit. Father, we thank You once again for this great opportunity that You've granted to us to come once again to study as students of the Word of God together, as the Holy Spirit is the instructor, the teacher, the guide, the one who brings us to all understanding and all knowledge, all wisdom, the one who brings us into all truth. We invite His presence. We invite Him to come and take His place in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds, in our souls. And then, Lord, we pray that Your Spirit will flow in and through all of us so that we may be able to carry Your Word to some soul that is outside of the ark of safety. Now, Lord, we pray and we invite You to take control of this study tonight. In the name of Jesus, amen. Again, I thank you for joining tonight as, again, we're speaking on the subject, who's to blame when you suffer loss? Who's to blame when you suffer loss? In life, there are tragedies that are going to come. And as a result of those tragedies, it provides pain, suffering, and hurt. And it makes sometimes one feel the loss, and they seek something or someone to blame for the loss. When they experience tragedy, there has to be somebody who's at fault. There has to be a cause or effect that will cause the individual to experience this loss. Over in the book of Ecclesiastes, third chapter of the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon is speaking, and in chapter 3, he tells us that in verse 1, to everything there is a season and a time, to every purpose under heaven. There is a lot of things that go on in the world, and sometimes we are trying to calculate and come up with some conclusion of understanding of why this happened, or why was this allowed, why do babies die, why do people die seemingly before their time. All sorts of questions come to our minds, and here in the process, Solomon tells us that there is a time to everything, there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven. And in verse 6 it says, it's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There are some things that we will probably lose purposefully. There are some things that we lose tragically. There are some things that we lose in life that we should have lost, or some things that we should have retained that we cast away. But who is to say, though? There are people who are saying to us, and here Solomon says that there is everything has a purpose. There's a reason behind everything that is done. And we don't always know or can always comprehend what is the substance of why you're going through what you're going through. But I am told from the Word of God that the trying of your faith is going to work some patience in you. And so we see this thing called loss. We find ourselves suffering loss. And in the process, there is oftentimes an inkling to find something or someone to blame as a result of the loss. Over in the book of Genesis, chapter 31, Genesis the 31st chapter, we find a very interesting statement of truth. Jacob, who is a man of God that was called by God. He was of the lineage of Abraham. First there was Abraham, then there was Isaac, then there was Jacob. And Jacob had gone over to Laban, and Laban was sort of his uncle. And Jacob loved his wife, or his daughter, Rachel. Jacob wanted to marry Rachel, but Laban had two daughters, and one was the oldest, and her name was Leah. And Jacob was tricked into marrying Leah, the first one, and he worked 7 years, thinking that he was working 7 years for Rachel, when Laban had him working 7 years for his oldest daughter, Leah. Then he worked another 7 years for Rachel, the one who he loved. And he also worked 7 years for to earn some cattle. And so we pick up the story in Genesis chapter 31, and we run down to verse number 39. Point now, in verse 38, it says, "This 20 years have I been with thee. Thy ewes and thy she-goats have not cast their young, and the rams of thy flock have I not eaten. That which was torn of beasts I brought not unto thee. I bear the loss of it, for my hand did is not done. For my hand," he says, "of my hand didst thou require it, whether stolen by day or stolen by night." So here Jacob is just reiterating to Laban that, hey, any loss that you would have bared, I bore that loss to myself. And sometimes in the process, there are some things that you will lose that you will just have to chalk it up. You have to bear the loss of a particular thing. And Jacob was one who was such an excellent worker that he would not allow Laban, even though he knew Laban was using him, because the blessings was upon Jacob, and everything that he touched was blessed. And all while that Jacob was abiding with Laban, Laban was a blessed man. And now it was coming to the time where Jacob is about to depart from him, and he is trying to share with Laban, hey, you have done all of these things. You've changed my wages so many times. You've done so many different crazy little things to me. Yet in all of this, you know, I bore the loss of it. And so one day Jacob decided that he would gather his wives and his children and all of his cattle, and that he would take off. And he did it in a time where Laban was not aware. And when he had discovered that Jacob had left, then he ran after Jacob and he pursued Jacob until he overtook Jacob. And in verse 28, it says, And you have not suffered me to kiss my sons and my daughters. Thou hast now done foolishly in so doing. And then in verse 29 it says, it is in the power of my hand to do you hurt. But the God of your father spake unto me yesternight, saying, take thou heed that thou'st either good or bad. And so here God will defend you when you are in the right, when you are standing for the right. God will defend you. And here Laban thought that he could cause him some hurt and some suffering, but God spoke to Laban and saying, I don't want you to speak good or bad to him. In other words, I don't want you to try to manipulate him anymore. And he wants Jacob to spend a little more time with him and give him opportunity to say goodbye officially to all of his children and all of that. And so verse 37 says, whereas thou hast searched all my stuff that thou hast not found of all thy household stuff, set it here before my brethren and thy brethren, that they may judge betwixt us both. So here, not only that, it's saying that in this chapter that one of Jacob's kids or perhaps wife or somebody, when they left, they took one of Laban's idol gods, and he was looking for it. But the most part about this story is that Jacob is saying, look, there are some times in our lives that we will bear the loss. That's the point that I want to make out of this text. And in this text, it says that Laban, who worked Jacob like a dog for 20 years, and he is now angry with Jacob, and Jacob is saying to him, look, I've done all of this. I've worked for you these 20 years, and I've not stolen anything from you. I didn't bring you any beast that was torn up or no cattle that was torn up. If it was torn or lost or stolen by something, I just suffered the loss of it. And so one attitude to have in situations like who's to blame when you suffer loss, there are times when there's absolutely perhaps no blame that can be contributed to anybody, but the loss is real. And sometimes you have to suffer or bear that loss upon yourself. And so here Jacob said, I bore the loss upon myself. Over in Exodus chapter 21 and verse 18 and 19, Exodus 21 and verse 18 and 19, this is the law concerning acts of violence. And so here, when a person committed an act of violence toward another person, then this was the remedy for it, according to the word of God. If a man strive together and one smite another with a stone or with his fist, and he die not, but keep it his bed. In other words, from that time he was bedridden because of the violent act that was came against him. And then in verse 19 it says, if he arise again and walk abroad upon his staff, then shall he that smote him be quiet, which is another word, is free from the responsibility. Only he shall pay for the loss of his time and shall cause him to be thoroughly healed. So he would have to pay for the loss of his time that he may have suffered not being able to work. So sometimes our loss can come in the form of time, loss of time. Sometimes there's loss that we would bear upon ourselves. There's the loss of time. As you live this life, you cannot add or go back to some particular time in your life and try to relive that thing all over again, because whatever happened to you in your past was exactly what happened in your past. And however you choose to view it or look at it, it can be a tragedy that is set up in your mind. You can consider it as a great loss. Whatever that thing is that you're holding on to that has happened in your past, you would do well, as our opening text says, sometimes it's necessary for us to cast away some things. He says, there's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. There are some things that we were never meant to hold on to or keep hold on to. And oftentimes there is a time to cast some things away or cast off the works of darkness. Those are things that God had never intended for us to keep. And so we're living in this mindset that one time in life you're going to experience some things in your life that you're going to wish that you could cast away. And oftentimes these things will impact your time. And so A loss of time can never be regained again. Once time has passed on or shifted on to the next level, you are in a progressive state of life that you are constantly moving forward, or if you are stagnated, you should be moving forward. You should never get yourself into a place where you're trapped in a time zone or a time warp where you don't continue to grow. A person that does not grow will eventually die. Whether you die spiritually or you die naturally or physically, if you sat down and decide not to use your body any longer, you would then lose your ability many times to function. You would stiffen up. You will become almost indigent, where you will not be able to move. And so sometimes there is, again, a loss of time. Over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 47, in verse 8 and 9, Isaiah had prophesied the judgment of Babylon. And Babylon was a type of people that prided themselves on their accomplishments, so much so that they felt like that they were impregnable, they could not be torn down, they could not be cast aside, nobody could overthrow them. But the prophetic word of God said that the Medes and the Persians would one day take over Babylon. And it happened even as God had prophesied it would. And so in verse 8 it says, "Therefore hear now this, thou art given to pleasures, that dwellest carelessly, that sayest in thy heart, I am, and none else beside me. I shall not sit as a widow, neither shall I know the loss of children." So here, Babylon had made its boast that there's nothing really that is able to overthrow me. I'm able to stand, and I'm going to be as if I was always, I've always been. And so Isaiah is prophesying, and he says, "Therefore hear now this, thou that art given to pleasures." Here is an underlining reason why some people are going to experience loss, because they are given to pleasures that dwellest carelessly. They dwell carelessly. They're not really conscientious of the times that they're living in. They're so caught up with the things of this world that they say in their heart, "I am and none else beside me." In other words, it comes now a contest about me, myself, and I. I is the center of everything that I do, so much so that it puts you in a careless mindset where you don't care for nobody else, you don't care for what happens to anybody, and in fact, you are all about the pleasures of life. But in verse 9 it says, "But these two things shall come to thee in a moment, in one day, the loss of children and widowhood. They shall come upon thee in their perfection, for the multitude of thy sorceries, and for the great abundance of thy enchantments." In that word perfection, it's fullness. That's the same word of fullness. In other words, there is a time and a season. There is a time when God will allow you to do your thing for as long as you want to do it, until you fill up the cup of God's indignation. And then that's when the wrath of God is going to be administered unto you. And when we say this wrath of God, it's oftentimes that God allows you to have it, whatever it is that you desire, and then he allows the consequences for your choice and decision that you have made to be ministered to you. Because if a person continues to do the thing that they have been warned not to do, eventually they're going to get to a place where warning is no longer applicable to them, they must suffer the cause and the effect of their choice. So here, this Babylon said that, hey, we haven't experienced no loss of children and we're not even a widow. But God says that, hey, you're going to become a widow and you're going to lose your children on the same day. So I want you to know that when we get beside ourselves, oftentimes you're going to experience some loss in your life. Over in the book of Acts, chapter 27th chapter, and looking at verse number 21 and 22, Paul has warned the Roman soldiers as they were about to take their ship journey to go to Rome. And Paul tells them, starting at verse number 20, he says, "And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away." They were out on the stormy sea, and the tempest of the storm was so strong that even these experienced men felt for their lives. And so in verse 21 it says, "But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss." So there are some times that loss will come unto us as a result of not following good, sound advice. You can experience a whole lot of loss by throwing away good, sound advice. Oftentimes, teenagers will not listen to their parents because they feel like they're old fogey and they don't know what they're talking about. And so oftentimes, they get themselves in a big fix and they suffer a whole lot of loss because they will not listen to the old landmark. They will not listen to somebody that has gone before them. And so we can learn a whole lot from Solomon, because Solomon had tested a whole lot of things. He tested what was the wisdom behind something, and he tested also what was the foolishness behind the thing. So for all of us who would come after Solomon, Solomon says, look, I've tried everything. There's nothing new under the sun. It doesn't matter what you try to test. It may be a different time, a different season in your life, but I want you to understand that there's nothing new under the sun. You may do it differently, but the principal thought and the principal actions are the same in every time frame that you can live in this world. Something is going to repeat itself. Fashions, they go, come and they go, and all of a sudden you see that same fashion come down years later. But I just want you to know that there is absolutely nothing new under the sun. And Solomon is saying that, look, there is a time and a season for every purpose, for everything that is done under the sun. And he says it's a time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away. And you can cast great advice, and you will suffer the consequences for it. And you will find and look for somebody to blame. But the greatest blame that can be attributed to many of us is so oftentimes the blame has to come back to our own doorstep, because sometimes we are the cause for our greatest tragedies in our own lives. Over in the book of Corinthians, chapter 11, First Corinthians chapter 3, and starting with verse 11. This is a very interesting thought. You cannot build upon things that have no eternal value. You cannot build upon things that have no eternal value, lest you build your whole life on things that will give you a perpetual sense of loss. In verse 11, it says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." Now, if you're laying your life on the foundation of Christ, there is absolutely no other way, Paul is saying, that's going to truly make sense, that you are going to experience life on a new level, but it will not be without suffering. Sometimes, because of our suffering, we will look to blame somebody or something. And so he says, "For other foundations can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation gold, silver, precious stone, wood, hay, stubble, then he says, every man's work shall be made manifest, for the day shall declare it, because it shall be revealed by fire, and the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. If any man's work abide, which he had built thereupon, he shall receive a reward." So if your works that you are operating in, your behaviors, your lifestyle, if it really represents or reveals or made manifest that your work is tied in to the abiding principles of Christ, then your work is going to stand, even though it's tried by the fire, even though it's tested, it goes through a period where it is burned, the dross of life is taken away from you, and the pure gold of your life is going to emerge. The jewel that God is looking for in you is going to come forth. And so in verse 15 it says, "If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire." So here again, he tells us that if your work is burned, you're going to suffer loss. You're going to suffer loss if your work is passing through the fire. If your work is passing through the fire, some things that's going to be in your life that you're going to lose, that is necessary for you to lose, that's necessary for you to cast away out of your life. He says, now those things will be lost, but you yourself is going to be saved. You're going to lose those things, but you're going to be saved. Now, turn over to Philippians chapter 3. Philippians, the third chapter, and we're going to look at a text of scripture that flows right into what we're talking about. In Philippians chapter 3, and looking at verse number 7, Paul says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." There is such a thing as being able to gain something while losing something. Oftentimes, when you're suffering loss and the loss of certain things that are coming out of your life, you are going to experience some gains while you're losing. And so it says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. So here Paul says that, look, I count all of my losses as dung, as, if you will, a pile of boo-boo on the ground, like a dog poops upon the ground. He says, I count all these things that I have suffered for Christ's sake, I count all of those things as loss. But in all of these things, it was a part of Paul's life that he felt like he was gaining the more as he continued to strive for Christ. Verse 9 says, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteous which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. So here Paul concludes that all of my losses I count as gain because of the excellence of the knowledge that he was receiving from Christ, the righteousness that came through faith in Christ as he was conforming his life to Christ. He experienced the power of the resurrection. It was as if though Paul had been born again, he had come to life, he was dead, but now he was resurrected, if you will, in the power of Christ. And so more and more, as you experience the loss of sin and the loss of selfishness and the loss of everything that you have gained in this world through iniquity and transgression, God says that all of that is loss. It's a negative for your life. It's no good for you. And if you lose your sins, if you lose your iniquity and your transgressions and all of that, what you've given up is nothing more than a dung. It's not even, it's a pile of boo-boo compared to what God is causing you to go after. The more and more you go after Christ, he says that you're going to experience some loss in your life. In fact, in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, Philippians is the second chapter, and looking at verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmuring and disputings, that ye may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world. So the working that of your faith and the blessing that God pours out upon you is for the purpose of bringing you closer to the Lord Jesus Christ and to causing you to empty out those things that are contrary to God, making you more conformable to the will and the purpose of God. God pours himself upon you so that you might stand blameless. There are many people that we blame for our loss. Some people blame their upbringing as to why they are feeling this experience of loss. There are people who lose their job and lose cars, houses, to bankruptcy, to foreclosures, to repossession. There are so many things that loss of life. Over the weekend, while traveling down to Nacogdoches, Texas, to go to my daughter's wedding, there was a couple that was on their way to my daughter's wedding. And in the process of them driving down, coming to the wedding, there was a young man who was driving a car that he lost control of and had a head-on collision with that couple. The husband's life was taken, the wife's life was taken, and their unborn child, all of them lost their life in the car. And what a tragedy. And the question is how do you put all that together, and how do you make sense out of something like that? And who's to blame? And they were on their way for a good purpose. They were on their way, and their intentions were to be there at the wedding to support my daughter and her fiance. And in the process, they lost their lives. And you look and you say, Lord, what a tragedy, what pain and suffering that came upon that child, that couple. And you try to make sense out of it, and you look for somebody to blame. And some people will say, if God is so merciful and so kind, why did he allow that to happen to my brother, my sister, to this little bitty baby? And I want you to know that we live in a world where God has given man the free choice to make decisions about their lives. God is such a gentleman that he says, whosoever will, let him come. Let him come unto me, and I will in no wise cast him out. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. And if any man hear my voice, not only am I knocking on your door, but I'm calling you by your name because you're listening to my voice, and I'm telling you, if you will allow me to come in, I will sit with you and sup with you and eat with you and fellowship with you if you'll let me in. God is not going to break your door down, bust your windows open to get to you. He says that he will stand at the door and knock and ask for permission to come in. We live in a world where God has simply given man the free choice to make decisions about what they're going to do. And sometimes, though it is a tragedy or a travesty for somebody to get in the car and run over somebody else in another vehicle, the free will of God is so that God would be willing many times that to touch that thing and to make it not happen. But the truth of the matter is that sometimes that God allows people to lose their life that they may gain their life. And Jesus said that whosoever shall lose his life for my sake, and those who will try to gain their life, they're going to lose it. So Jesus saying, the way you gain life is to lose yourself. The way you gain life is to latch hold of me, because I am the way, I am the truth, and I am the life. And so if you got Jesus, you got all of it. And so we can stand then in Ephesians chapter 1, looking at verse number 4, Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 4 says, according as he had chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love. So we can stand without blame. But Paul says that the righteousness of Christ would be fulfilled in us, as the righteousness of Christ, as the excellence of the knowledge of Jesus Christ is being placed inside of our hearts and minds, we get to the place in our life that suffering and loss and all of those things does not have much power over us, because in the will of God, with all of our heart, mind, and soul, and God puts us in a spirit of justification where he justifies us, and we are not consumed, we're not blamed. We stand blameless, if you will, for what we have done. 2 Corinthians chapter 6, And looking at verse number 3, he says, giving no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. God wants us to be in a position where we're not offensive of people or offensive of anything, that the ministry be not blamed. As children of God, as we come into the fold of God, into the will and purpose of God, oftentimes, again, as the early text says, we shine as lights in the world. And if you are offensive in your approach and in your way toward people, then you bring reproach to the ministry of God. And so here Paul is saying that given no offense in anything, that the ministry be not blamed. You are protectors of the ministry of Christ by your life, through your actions, how you conduct yourself. God wants your ministry to not be blamed and the ministry not to be blamed by your behaviors. 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 16 says that, but thanks be to God, which put the same earnest care into the heart of Titus for you. For indeed he accepted the exhortation, but being more forward of his own accord, he went unto you, and we have sent him with him the brother, whose praise is in the gospel throughout all the churches, and not that only, but who was also chosen of the churches to travel with us with this grace, which is administered by us to the glory of the same Lord and declaration of your ready mind. So here, Paul is saying that Titus was given this ministry, and he traveled and he earnestly cared for the people of God from his heart. And he took the gospel of Jesus Christ and he declared it to many churches. And verse 20 says, avoiding this, that no man should blame us in the abundance which is administered by us. And then he goes on and says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. So your lifestyle should affect people around you as well as God in a positive sense, in a real ministry sense. So he says, providing for honest things, not only in the sight of the Lord, but also in the sight of men. And we have sent with them our brother, whom we have oftentimes proved diligent in many things, but now much more diligent upon the great confidence which I have in you. So Paul is saying that, look, I want you to understand that Titus' ministry, that we share his ministry with you, and it's all by design to really encourage the church. Again, sometimes we're going to bear some loss, but oftentimes we have to bear some blame. Over in Genesis chapter 43, and verse 9, Joseph, who was sold into slavery by his brethren, came to prophecy, was about to come to pass, in that he said that one day his brethren and his father and all of them would bow down to him and give him honor. And so it came to pass that Joseph became as a king over the Egyptian province under the hand of Pharaoh. And now Joseph is about to meet his brethren And he's looking to see if Benjamin, his youngest brother, is going to come. And he inquired of his brethren, after not revealing himself to them, whether or not his brother was alive and that if they had any other brethren as a ploy. And so he told them to go back home and get him. And so in so doing, one of the brethren went home and made surety. Judah made surety for the lad, Benjamin, to his father. And in verse 9, we pick it up. He says, "I will be surety for him. Of my hand shall thou require him. If I bring him not unto thee and set him before thee, then let me bear the blame forever." There are some people who will say, "I'm going to bear the blame. I'm going to take this blame upon myself." There are some people who will accept the fault of certain things, and they will provide provide the covering, if you will, for the other individual. They will be surety for them. And so he became surety for them. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, we're going to find an interesting text of scripture that's going to help us to bring home the message that we're talking about tonight. Who's to blame when we suffer loss? Should one blame God for their loss? Because that's who gets the blame oftentimes for the losses that happen in their life. They often feel like that God is responsible. Since he is God of the heavens and earth, then he must be the one who is to blame for my losses that I experience in life. And some people live their life blaming God for every bad thing or everything that they have suffered in their life. Yet there are people who make choices that causes them to suffer tragedies in their life. And there are tragedies that come to our life that we're not totally responsible for. But there are other people who are making decisions that affect our life. In 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse number 12, it says, "If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he also will deny us." Verse 9 says, "Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel," verse 8, "wherein I suffer trouble as an evildoer, even unto bonds, but the word of God is not bound." Paul says that, look, I suffered for Christ because of his going after God. Oftentimes, Paul suffered life. He suffered trouble in his life. He suffered beatings and all sorts of things for the gospel's sake. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says this, "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So as a result of you attaching your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, you are going to experience some persecution. If you're living a rightful, holy life in God, you're going to experience persecution. But if you suffer with him, you're going to reign with him. The servant, he says, Jesus, is not greater than his Lord. Hebrews the 11th chapter in verse 25 says that Moses was one of those guys in verse 24. "For by faith Moses, when he was come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season." And so here in this life of Moses, Moses decided rather to suffer affliction with the people of God. Sometimes the loss that you experience is a loss of choice. When suffering is a choice, you are going to have to make a decision whether you are going to suffer affliction that the righteousness of Christ may be revealed in you through the indwelling power of his anointing. Over in Hebrews 13 and 3, Hebrews 13 and 3, it says, remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. So sometimes suffering comes through adversity. You're going to experience some adverse things that are operating in contrary against you, and it may be moved in a way that it causes you pain. Verse 22 of that same verse says, and I beseech you, brethren, suffer the word of our exhortation, for I've written a letter unto you in few words. So sometimes we have to allow the word of exhortation to come on the inside of us in order to build us up on that strong foundation that we were told that we should lay our lives upon, is because it is this power and this anointing that we're going to need in order for us to overcome all things in this world, because persecution, adversity, suffering, tragedy, pain, hurt, all of these things are going to come. And the question is who will you blame for your suffering? 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 20 says, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you? Christ was manifest in, First Peter chapter 2, he was manifest for us. That was in verse 1 and 20, but I'm reading now from verse 2 and verse 20. For what glory is it if when you are buffeted for your faults, ye shall take it patiently? But if when you do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. So sometimes you have to suffer with patience. Sometimes you're going to be buffeted for your faults. The enemy is going to come and buffet you for your faults. He's going to say, look at you, they messed up again. And he is the one who blames us. He is the one who holds for blame. He blamed Joshua. And he will blame you. And anybody else that gets in his way, he will blame. But you and I have to experience this on another level. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 14, but if you suffer for righteous' sake, happy are ye, and be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled. Verse 17, but better if the will of God be so that ye suffer for well-doing than for evil doing. So even if you're suffering because of something that you cannot explain, just know that there are some things that God has already foreordained that you should go through, for the trying of your faith is going to work patience in you. And you're going to find that the manifestation of God is going to be seen in you. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 16 and 19 says, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf, on this behalf. And then verse 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So God is saying that, look, you're going to go through some things, you're going to suffer some things, but just hold on to him. Even if it costs you your life, you can rest assured that if you suffer for Christ, you're going to reign with Christ. So hold fast the profession of your faith, cling to the Lord and our Savior, and hold fast until he comes. Father, we thank you once again. that we have nothing to blame. We have nobody to blame. In fact, the free will of the heart of man is oftentimes the reason and result of the cause and effects of things happen. And we know that we have a greater enemy, the devil, who is behind the scene, who is leading, who is orchestrating all these things. And he is truly the one to blame for all sins that are happening in the world today. And even those who are making choices and decisions that are influenced by him, they too will suffer loss as a result of following him. And this loss is not only a loss in this world, but a loss through eternity of the things that you would have us to have forever. Father, we pray that you would forgive us for all of our sins, plus to build upon the strong foundation of Christ Jesus, so that when you come, we will be victorious with you in the name of Jesus. God bless you, my friends, and have a great night. Thank you for tuning in. And let's keep on following the Lord, even if tragedy strikes our home, our family. I tell you, you're going to win if you don't quit with Christ. Have a great night.